Again, this evening we join the Lord Jesus and the apostles in the upper room. Jesus preparing to take his leave of the disciples to go firstly to the cross and then to go on to glory by way of the vanquished tomb. The disciples, with a gathering sense of foreboding and apprehension, Jesus assuring them that all will be well. And Jesus' assurance centering on the presence with the disciples of the Holy Spirit, so that as Jesus takes his leave, his ministry to them will be continued, indeed will be extended by the presence of the Holy Spirit whom he will send. We're going to pick up this evening in John chapter 15, verse 18. We're going to read through into chapter 16, verse 4, and we'll fix our thoughts on those first four verses of chapter 16 in our sermon. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. Here's God's word. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. That is God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we hear the Lord Jesus speak in solemn tones. We ask that you would give us attentiveness, that we might learn from the Savior. We thank you that it is through the consolation of the Scriptures that we have hope. And so we ask, Father, that you would help us this evening to be properly consoled by your word, as we recognize the presence of the Savior by his Spirit, safeguarding and protecting those who have been purchased at the cost of the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. From time to time, when I'm visiting at the hospital or perhaps at the nursing home, I notice outside the doors of certain rooms a sign that has on it the words "fall risk." And that sign is not there for decorative purposes. Oh yes, it is true that as I go down the corridors I see various works of art, and they're there to be soothing and calming and reassuring, I guess therapeutic in their way. And then this warning, fall risk, and that sign is there not for aesthetic reasons, but for reasons of necessity. There is a real and genuine risk, and that sign alerts us to that risk, and in fact indicates that some special precautions might be necessary. Jesus has been talking to his disciples about the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the one who's going to come to be with the disciples. And as Jesus advances in his discussion with the disciples, it becomes increasingly clear why the help of the Holy Spirit is going to be vitally essential for those disciples, those apostles, and for us. because they, like us, were to find themselves in a world that would be opposed first to Jesus and his Father, and then to those who identify with the Lord Jesus, so that we might be in dismay about our ability to persevere as those who bear witness to the Lord Jesus in this world, except we are assured of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But tonight, as we come into John's Gospel, chapter 16, the first four verses, Jesus reminds us that the Holy Spirit's help is not something that's an optional extra for Christians, not something that perhaps is a nice thing for certain Christians to have or enjoy. It's something that's vitally necessary for each one of us, because Jesus highlights the fact that there is for the Christian a fall risk. We're not to be ignorant of that fact. We're to be alert to that fact. We're to be watchful. We're to be on guard. And yes, we are to rely on the Holy Spirit and the resources which the Spirit uses to bolster and support the people of God against the opposition and adversity that comes to us from outside and indeed from within, as the evil one tempts our hearts and plays with our minds. And so the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples in order to help us, because we need that help. Someone has said the Holy Spirit, as it were, comes to help those who are caught up in the thick of battle and tried beyond their strength. Have you ever felt tried beyond your strength as you face the challenges of life in this world? I'm sure you have. The Holy Spirit is for you as your supporter, your helper in such circumstances. In our verses this evening, I want to walk you through these verses, and first of all, to help you realize the danger that Jesus alerts us to identify the threat that Jesus points out for us, and then to perhaps be in a position to take certain precautions that Jesus touches on in our verses this evening. Verse 1 of chapter 16, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away." Now, were we to have been with the apostles in the room on that occasion, were we to have spoken with them as they went out from the room and said, do you think you're in danger of falling away? Well, we know exactly what they would have said, don't we? Because in actual fact, they say it later on. We have Peter speaking in Matthew's Gospel. A little bit after the events recorded in John chapter 16, Peter says, "Though they all fall away, I will never fall away." And then the other disciples, they take their cue from Peter, and Matthew says, all the other disciples said the same. We'll never fall away. There's no danger of that happening. There's no risk. We are solid. We are steadfast. You can rely on us. And of course, the truth of the matter is, these disciples who are so confident in their ability not to fall away are at risk of falling away. Some of you remember that a few months ago I had a surgical procedure when I was recovering from the anesthesia. After that, appendectomy, and when my wits were starting to return to me, I became aware that I had on my wrist a bright yellow band that had on it the words, "Fall Risk." I was labeled. I was a fall risk. The disciples were brothers and sisters, you and I need to be on guard. Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, "Let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." In other words, there's not a one of us who can say, "It would never happen to me." There's not a one of us who can make the kind of proud boast that Peter and the other disciples made. "I'll never deny you. I won't fall away. You can rely on me." We're the faithless ones. Jesus is the one who is faithful. And so we need to be on our guard. There is a danger of falling. And we need to be on guard against that. We need to be careful lest we be tempted. Remember Jesus praying for the disciples, praying for Peter specifically in Luke's Gospel 22:32. "I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail." We have a Savior who prays for us that we will not, that our faith will not fail. Jesus doesn't pray that for us. redundantly. That's not some kind of backup defense. Jesus prays that for us because were it not for him praying on our behalf, our faith would buckle. We would be liable to falling. And Jesus prays for us. The psalmist, you remember, writes in the 37th Psalm, writes of the believer, though he fall, he will not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Our Savior holds on to us, but our Savior also cautions us against the dangers. You might think of the parent with the that wobbly child who's only just learned to walk, and maybe that rather wobbly child is going over some ground that's a little bit irregular. And of course, yes, mommy or daddy says to the child, be careful, you don't fall. And the child might say, I'll not fall. Mommies and daddies know about these things because, well, the child stumbles and goes, but mommy or daddy is holding that little hand. And though the child might stumble, and though the warning is apt and appropriate, the child does not go down. Our God holds on to the hands of his people, but our God warns us against the dangers of falling. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And we've already been reminded this evening of how easily we find ourselves giving ear to the voice of the tempter. He comes up all unexpectedly. Yes, indeed, there is a devil, and yes, indeed, the devil hates the church and he hates the people of God. He does all that he can to put stumbling blocks at their feet. He does all that he can to divert them from the service of the Lord Jesus. That's why the writer to the Hebrews reminds us of our responsibilities to one another as a community of people looking out for one another. Hebrews 3 verse 13 says, exhort one another as long as it is called today, so that none of you may become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. God gives you your brothers and sisters as part of that safety net, that network that protects against falling. God incorporates individual believers into the congregation of his church so that we can be safeguarded and protected, so we can have the care of brothers and sisters who know that we face stumbles and struggles and trials, but who are there for us, who are praying for us, who are seeking to support us for the sake of Jesus. Jesus alerts us to a danger. He identifies the threat, doesn't he? And he describes the threat in very religious terms. He's talking about spiritual warfare because that's what it is. Verse 3, Jesus identifies some human enemies that the apostles might encounter. And Jesus says they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. Those who oppose the people of God, those who persecute, those who antagonize the people of God are those who do not know the Father or the Lord Jesus. Now, it's good for us just to pause for a moment and realize that Jesus is assuring us that we should find no threat from our brothers and sisters. There should be no threat from those who are our brothers and sisters. The threat that Jesus identifies is a threat that comes from those who don't know the Father, who don't know the Son. And remember that there's no knowing of God as Father except we know the Lord Jesus, the Son, as our Savior. And by implication, Jesus is saying that those who know the Father, those who know the Son, they are not your enemies. Or let me turn it around, you are not to be the enemy of those who know the Lord Jesus. You're not to put a stumbling block at the feet of your brothers or sisters. Remember Jesus cautioning us against even causing the least of his little ones to stumble. Better that a millstone be tied around our necks, we'd be thrown into the depths of the sea. We do have a responsibility for our brothers and sisters, even the little ones in the congregation. We have a responsibility for them. On the other hand, says Jesus, those who don't know the Father, those who deny the Father, who are opposed to the Lord Jesus, they will not hesitate to be antagonistic toward the people of God. What will they do? Well, Jesus in verse 2 says they'll put you out of the synagogues, not necessarily excommunicating, maybe excommunication, but maybe disfellowshipping, the idea of just not interacting with you. sending them to Coventry, as we say back in the British Isles, just kind of giving them the cold shoulder. Don't do that with one another. Jesus says there'll be some who'll put you out of the synagogues, that their fellowship with you will be breached because you know the Lord Jesus, but they'll do much worse. One thing leads to another. Indeed, says Jesus, the hour is coming when whoever kills you thinks he's doing service to God. And that might seem unthinkable, but we hear of that all the time, don't we? Those who profess to be doing the will of God, a false God, who persecute the people of the true God, who persecute those who acknowledge the name of the Lord Jesus, who persecute our brothers and sisters. They hate them because they hate Jesus. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in those kinds of situations, those circumstances. Peter says, 1 Peter 4, verse 12, do not be surprised by the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. We're not to be surprised. We're to remember. Indeed, Peter says those kinds of things are the portion of our brothers and sisters around the world. There is spiritual warfare. It is real. We're exposed to it from outside. We're exposed to it as the devil attacks our hearts directly. And he does. And he does. We need to be. We need to not be ignorant of his wiles. The greatest danger, says Don Carson, is not death, but apostasy. The greatest danger is not that we deny, but that we die, but that we deny the Lord Jesus. And so we need to be taking precautions. And as Jesus talks about this fall risk, this danger, the Lord Jesus says, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. What is it that protects the people of God? How do we buttress ourselves? There are a number of things that we could do, but it's good for us to notice that Jesus says, I am saying these things to you in order that you'll be protected against falling. The word of our Savior is addressed to us for our protection, that we can be instructed, that we can be alerted, that we can be assured, so that in the midst of adversity and trial, we're assured that we have a Heavenly Father. Even though things might seem to be going badly wrong, even though in the words of the 44th Psalm picked up in Romans chapter 8, even though for the sake of the Lord Jesus we're being given over to the sword all the time, we're being killed all day long, we remember that nothing separates us from the love of our God. He assures us of that in the Lord Jesus. Jesus addresses seven churches at the beginning of Revelation. One of those churches is the church in Sardis. And you'll remember that some of those churches, in fact, almost all of those churches, were fall risks. They were in danger in one way or another. The church in Sardis needed a wake-up call. And in fact, Jesus speaks to them. Jesus says, you need to waken up. Stay with me. And we have a sense of these disciples beginning to become spiritually sleepy. Remember the apostles in Gethsemane becoming sleepy, becoming drowsy. Here's a whole congregation in Sardis, Revelation chapter 3. They're starting to become sleepy. They're starting to become drowsy. Their spiritual senses are being dulled. They are liable to attack and onslaught by the evil one. They're starting to drift away, not just drift away into sleep. We drift away, don't we, evening by evening into sleep. The danger here is that they're lapsing into a spiritual sleepishness, a spiritual coma. They're slipping away from their commitment to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus addresses them. Revelation 3, verse 3, remember what you have received and heard. That sleepy church needs to remember what it's received and heard. They need to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We've been hearing this. We've been developing Jesus discussion with the disciples in light of what he has to say about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, he uses the Word of God in the lives of God's people so that we are safeguarded against the wiles of the evil one. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And as you think of that church in Sardis becoming sleepy, yes, we do become sleepy, don't we? Sometimes the sleepiness that, the sleepiness that prevents us from spending time in the morning or in the evening or both in prayer, reading God's Word. We don't organize ourselves in such a way as to protect against sleepiness. So we're not focusing on the things that we need to focus on. The sleepiness, yes, real sleepiness that, we perhaps don't prepare properly for the Lord's Day. And Sunday morning we're thinking, well, will I bother going to Sunday school? Will I bother going to worship? Will I be there at catechism? Will I bother? And yes, there can be physical sleepiness, but Jesus speaks to his church. Jesus says, wake up, wake up. Remember what you've received. Remember what you've heard. Keep on listening. Stay with me. Listen to the words of life that the Holy Spirit uses in the lives of the people of God so that we don't fall away. Isaiah speaks of that voice that speaks in the ear of the people of God, the voice of the teacher, the voice of the Holy Spirit, who, when we veer off to the left or to the right, says, this is the way, walk in it. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit, the one who helps the people of God by reminding us what Jesus says to us so that we can be protected against falling and against the attacks of the devil. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the comforting words of the Lord Jesus, that while there are dangers and risks, he speaks to us in order that we might not fall away. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who takes the word, lifts it off the page, writes it on our hearts, causes it to ring in our ears, so that where we might be apt to stray, where we might be inclined to become sleepy, where we might be open to delusion or deception by the evil one, instead, we are directed in right paths as the Holy Spirit takes your word and uses it to direct and guide and comfort the people of God. So, our Father, we ask that this might be our portion, that we might be kept from falling, and that Jesus might be honored. We pray it in his name. Amen.